All right, good. Proverbs chapter 2 in your Bibles, Proverbs 2. We started a while back a series out of Proverbs, not really just verse by verse, but just kind of preaching through some of the characters. We've gone through the scornful, we've gone through the fool, we've gone through the simple, and we'll go through several other ones before we complete this. But today is the wise, and we need to seek wisdom. And so we need wisdom in our daily lives. We need God's wisdom, not the world's wisdom. But we've got to have God's wisdom to navigate through this world and do our best for the Lord Jesus Christ. Proverbs chapter 2, and look at verse number 1. I'll read a few verses here, and we're going to kind of skip through here and show you some characteristics of the wise. Chapter 2, verse 1, my son, I circled the words if here because this is all contingent on something. My sons, if thou wilt receive my words, if thou wilt receive my words, and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest for her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then, so there's the if, and the if, and the if of verse 4, and then the verse 5 is, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth, and there's three things mentioned here, the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. All three of those things, knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Now, let me tell you what some people get. Some people get knowledge. Some people get knowledge. They can get it. They get knowledge. Some people get knowledge, and then eventually they get to the point where they understand knowledge. Knowledge would be you sit under and you hear the Word of God preach or teach, and you get knowledge. Maybe you know some verses, you know how some verses apply, and you have knowledge. But you don't have understanding because you haven't figured out how those verses actually work practically in the lives of people. So some people get knowledge, and then they get understanding of how the knowledge works. But when you get knowledge and you get understanding, and then, watch, then you begin to put it into practice in your life and communicate it into the lives of others, now you've become wise. Some people get knowledge and they understand knowledge, and I'll show you how that goes. Somebody say, well, the Bible says A, B, and C, and you say, I got it. I don't understand how it works, but I've got it. And then eventually you get to the place where you say, I've got it and I understand it. But there's some people that will get it and understand it and then begin to put it into practice, and that's when they become wise. Not until then. So you can't just have knowledge and then just have say, well, I have knowledge and understanding. No, what you were shooting for is wisdom. In fact, in Proverbs 4:7, it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. So as we're shooting for, the target is wisdom. As we're shooting for wisdom, it's going to have to be built on knowledge. And as you're getting understanding. But the principal thing we're shooting for is what? Wisdom. That's what we're shooting for. We're shooting for wisdom. And really, I look at wisdom as this, is the ability to put knowledge and understanding into practice. That's what wisdom is. It's the ability to put knowledge and understanding into practice. And it is the principal thing. That's what we've seen. Now, let me tell you something. Wisdom is, the Bible says in several places through Proverbs, is crying out. It's shouting, saying, I wish somebody would just turn in and listen to what I've got to say. I want to make them wise. That's what wisdom is doing. It's crying out. I want to make you better. I want to help you. I want to get you to where you're going in life. And the fact that the Bible says it's right before you. It's right there. It's right before you. In fact, in Proverbs 17:24, wisdom is before him that hath understanding, but the eyes of the fool are the ends of the earth. Meaning this, the eyes of the fool is saying, well, I'm just looking for something for life. And the wisdom is saying, look, I'm right before you. People come to church and they sit in a church service just like this, and they're thinking, I wish I knew what God wanted for my life. I wish I knew what to do about this job. I wish I knew what to do about my living situation. I wish I knew what to do about my marriage situation. I wish I knew what to do about my kids. And they look through all the ends of the earth and reading this book and that book and watch this doctor on TV and that doctor on TV. And they come with all these different ideas when wisdom is crying out the whole time saying, I've got the knowledge and the understanding right here. And so we looked everywhere, the ends of the earth, looking for the answers for everything, calling people and reading people's things, but really and searching the internet for all the things. But I'm going to tell you something. Wisdom is found right within the covers of this book right here. Wisdom. Wisdom. The thing that you need. And so here's the thing is this. This is the idea. You have to want it. You have to want wisdom. Wisdom's available. It's crying out. It's right before you. But you're going to have to want wisdom in your life. You ever heard the story about the man that came to his master and he said, I want wisdom. I want knowledge. I want understanding. And he went to his master and he said, I want knowledge. I want understanding. And he took him down through the streets and he led him down to the ocean and he took him out in the water about chest deep. And when he got him out there, he said, what do you want? And he said, I want knowledge. I want understanding. I want wisdom. And he said, good. He pushed him under the water and held him under the water for 30 seconds. And he let him back up, and the kid popped up out of the water. And he says, what do you want? And he says, I want knowledge. I want understanding. I want wisdom. And he said, good. And he shoved him under the water for 40 seconds. And after the end of 40 seconds, he popped back up. And he says, what do you want? And he said, Master, I want knowledge. I want understanding. I want wisdom. And so he shoved him under the water for a whole minute. When the minute was over, they popped the kid back up, and he says, what do you want? And the kid says, air, I want air. And he says, good. When you start wanting wisdom like you want air, then you're going to get wisdom. And really, that's the idea. When you decide I've got to have it to live, then that's when you're going to start finding wisdom. It's there. The problem is people sit in a room just like this, and wisdom passes right before your eyes and right through your ears. And you let it just pass right by you. You never grab onto it. And you never look for it. So I'm going to give you some ideas tonight. If you can give me the next slide. I just give you some ideas. I've got these outlined a little different. But these are just the main points here. And you can look at these. You can write them down. You can try to get them. But I'm going to give you some ideas about wisdom tonight. That maybe help us all. The first thing I want you to understand is how do we get wisdom? How do we get it? How do we get it? Well, let me tell you something about the wise you can find in the Bible. The wise long for it. The wise want it. They desire it. They long after it. They long for it. And the Bible says we can ask of God if we need wisdom. In James 1:5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, it shall be given unto him. Let me tell you what you ought to make. A regular prayer in your life is for wisdom. I pray for that every single day. I pray for wisdom. I say, God, you've heard me pray here before. I've never gone this way before. I've never pastored a church before. I've never built a building before. I've never dealt with some of the issues that you're dealing with in your life, and you come to me and ask for me to help you with them. I've never dealt with some of those things before. I don't know. And let me tell you what I need more than anything else. I've got to have the wisdom of God. The wisdom of this world just won't do it. It won't work. It'll fix some things, but it doesn't fix the major things. We've got to have the wisdom of God. You've got to have it. And what you need to make a regular thing in your life is praying and asking God to give you wisdom. You're going to have to long for it. I pray for it a lot. I honestly pray for it a lot because I know that without it, let me tell you what I will do. I will make mistakes. I'll make terrible mistakes if I try to do it in my own wisdom. And the same thing is true about you. Moms, dads, in your homes, if you try to do it in your own wisdom, you'll make mistakes. You got to have God's wisdom. So the wise long for it. They ask God for it. Let me tell you what else the wise do. The wise look for it. The wise look for it. They search it out. They look for it all the time. What we just said here in Proverbs chapter number 2, he says, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding. If thou, watch this next phrase, seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. If I told you there was $1 million buried out in the backside of this property, somewhere out there $1 million buried, I couldn't stop, I couldn't keep you in here. You would all be out there with shovels trying to dig up the $1 million that are out there. He told you, there's oil on your property. If you'll just get somebody to come, you would say, I've got to get somebody to come out and drill for oil because I want to be rich. I'm telling you, the Bible says if you would just seek after wisdom like you would seek after for hidden treasures and for silver and gold, then you understand the fear of the Lord and then you get wisdom. You got to search for it. You got to search for it. So they long for it. But the wise look for it. And you don't have to turn there, but I'll read this to you in Psalm 19. You know these verses very well. In Psalm 19 and verse 7, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is the servant warned." So we get a warning from the Word of God. It's wisdom comes from that. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sin. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let me tell you something. We've got the Word of God right here in our hands. And what happens a lot of times is we don't spend enough time looking for wisdom right here in the pages of this book. It brings great reward. It enlightens the eyes. It helps keep you away from error. It helps keep you away from the transgressions, from the sins, even the presumptuous sins. Even, watch this now, even the secret faults in our life. It gets rid of them. And we don't spend enough time digging them out. Can I tell you something? There's a lot of people that have great access to wisdom. They just don't possess wisdom. There's a lot of people probably in this room, we have access to great wisdom. We're just not using wisdom. And it'll cause us to fall in our lives. So the wise long for it. The wise look for it. Let me give you another one. The wise learn and increase in learning. Let me say what I mean by that. They want to be around places where wisdom is found. They want to be places where wisdom is found. You know, it's this type of person that is looking for wisdom. They're not just looking to go to a church where they can be entertained. They're not just looking for a place where they can go and they say, well, the air conditioning is good, the seats are comfortable, and when the preacher preaches, it's very entertaining, and I felt like I had a great time, I enjoyed it, and the music really got me going, I was really excited about that, and everything was, I felt really good when I left there. That's not what the wise are looking for. The wise are looking to sit down in a seat and buckle up and get wisdom poured into their life. That's what they're looking for. The wise, they long for it, the wise look for it, and the wise increase in learning. Look at Proverbs chapter number 8. Let me tell you something about wisdom. Wisdom isn't going to tell you what you want to hear. Wisdom will tell you what you need to hear. In Proverbs chapter 8, look at verse number 1. Watch what it says. "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth at the top of the high places, by the way of the places of the path. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple," that's you guys right here. "O ye simple, understand wisdom. Ye fools, be of an understanding heart." Watch what he says in verse number 6. "Hear, for I will speak excellent things." See, wisdom speaks excellent things. "And the opening of my lips shall be right things." See, wisdom only speaks excellent and right things. In verse 7, "For my mouth shall speak truth." It only speaks truth. "And wickedness is an abomination to my lips." You're only going to hear, when you hear wisdom, you're only going to hear truth. You're only going to hear excellent things. You're only going to hear right things. And you should not be hearing wickedness at all. In verse 8, "All the words of my mouth are righteous," are in righteousness. "There is nothing forward or perverse in them." Watch this now. "They are plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that findeth knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it." See, wisdom won't just tell you what you want to hear. You know, the Bible talks about, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears, their heart from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables," right? And these people will actually want to go to a church that will on purpose tell them a fable rather than have somebody rear back and preach the Word of God to them. And see, that's the problem that we have sometimes, is that's what I'm talking about. Wisdom is crying out, saying, I can fix your problem. I can fix your life. I can help you in the situations you're going through. The problem is we say, no, I don't really want it because it doesn't fit my lifestyle. It goes against kind of what I believe in my own heart. Well, folks, let me tell you something. You're going to stay in simplicity and stay in foolishness that way. You've got to have wisdom. And wisdom's not always going to say things that you want to hear. In Proverbs 10, verse 8, it says, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall, or prating fool shall fall, whichever way you say it. But they'll receive commandments. They'll receive instructions. And that not only will they get around the place where wisdom is being spoken of, or wisdom is being taught, and they'll learn it, but they'll also learn it by getting around wise people. I'm convinced we spend too much time around foolish people, listening to foolish talking. And we need to be spending more time around wise people. In Proverbs 13:20, it says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. In Proverbs 19:20, it says, hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Let me tell you what you need, folks. Listen, you need to be around wise people in your life.
Amen.
You stay away from the foolish people. I'm telling you, wise people can fix the issues of your life. You ought to surround yourself with people that have wisdom. Automaker Henry Ford asked electrical genius Charles Steinmetz to build the generators for his factory. One day, the generators ground to a halt, and the repairmen couldn't find the problem. So Ford called Steinmetz, who tinkered with the machines for a few hours and then threw the switch. The generators whirled to life, but Ford got a bill for $10,000 for Steinmetz. Can you imagine that? Flabbergasted, the rather tight-fisted car maker inquired why the bill was so high. Steinmetz replied, for tinkering with the generator, $10. For knowing where to tinker, $9,990. See, that's what being around wise people is about. Because you can get a lot of just stuff from places out there. But you get around wise people, if you get around wise people, they can start to figure out things that are going on in your life that you need to fix. And they know where to tinker. They know where to do the work in your life. And they can help you get on the right track. You get around foolish people, and all they do is promote more foolishness.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to get around some people that actually have some wisdom. So the wise, they long for it, they look for it, they learn, and then increase in learning. Let me tell you something else the wise do, because this is something people don't do anymore. They've lost the art of listening. And so wise people listen. In fact, they listen more than they even talk sometimes. But wise people listen. They're listeners. Look at Proverbs chapter number 1, and just look at this verse that goes along with this one. Proverbs chapter number 1. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 5. A wise person, they listen. They listen. Watch what he says. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. A wise man will hear. He listens. A wise man's listening for things. In Proverbs 18:15, it says, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. It means he's listening for things. Let me tell you something, more than just listening, let me tell you what else he's listening for. He's listening for correction and rebuke in his life. You can be corrected. Now, let me tell you, a wise person can be corrected. A foolish person cannot be corrected. In fact, we talked about a stubborn person. We talked about the scorner, and the scorner is stubborn and refuses any kind of correction. But the wise person likes correction because they don't want to stay wrong in their life. They want to be corrected and go the right direction in their life. They'll hear rebuke. In Proverbs chapter 9 and verse number 8, it says, reprove a scorner, lest he hate thee. It says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Listen, you rebuke a person that's wise, you tell him, that's not right. You were saying to Brother Andrew, that what you do is not right. You need to fix this in your life. Let me tell you something. The prideful, scorner, foolish person would say, how dare you tell me that I need to fix something in my life? The wise person says this. They look back and say, well, is it true? Can I own it? That's what you need to ask yourself sometimes when somebody corrects you. You might need to look and say, can I own this? And sometimes people say something to me and I think, well, surely I didn't do anything that bad. But then I think to myself, you know what? There may have been something in what they just said that was actually true that I need to look at. So you need to ask yourself, can I own this? And then what you need to say is, I need to fix this. A wise person doesn't have a problem with that. In Proverbs 13:1, it says, a wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Just won't hear it. In Proverbs 17:10, a reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. So it enters into a wise man. He can listen to reproof and rebuke, and it doesn't bother him. In fact, he likes it because he can make corrections into his life. Let me tell you something. We can say amen and sure and stuff like that to a comment like that right there. And we can all say amen. We all say, you're right. That is right. Until somebody does correct us. And when they correct us, the little man inside that doesn't like it, he rises up and says, how dare you? Right? You say, prove it. I'll prove it. Next time you're driving down the road and you don't stop long enough at a light or whatever, and someone honks at you to tell you to stop, you know what you do immediately? The little road rage man jumps up and grabs on the steering wheel, right? He does. I know you're laughing because you know that's right. You know what I just told you is right. He tries to jump up and cause a problem. Why? Because you don't like anybody correcting you. You don't like to be corrected. So let me tell you something else about the wise. The wise are lowly. The wise are lowly. They're not prideful. You tell you something, you can't. If you find somebody that's wise, they will not be filled with self. And if they are filled with self, they won't stay in wisdom for very long. And they won't increase in wisdom whenever they're prideful. Look at Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 2. On these key ones, I'm going to have you turn to a lot of these. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 2. It says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. When pride cometh, there's shame. With the lowly, there's wisdom. When someone is low, meaning they're not full of themselves or not pride, then it goes along with this thing about they'll listen and they can be corrected. Proverbs chapter number 10. Proverbs chapter number 13. Proverbs chapter number 13. And look at verse number 10. This is a verse we quote quite often around here. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 10. Only by pride cometh contention. You're seeing somebody fight with somebody else. If you're seeing an argument taking place, I can guarantee you one of the two is having a pride problem. Having a pride problem. When Moses' family came to him and make accusations to Moses and called Moses out and tried to start a fight with Moses, what did Moses do? He picked up his staff and swatted him, right? No, what did he do? That's what you wanted to do, right? I can tell. He said, what did he do? He said fell to his knees, and he began to pray. He said he was the meekest man on the face of the earth. And so, you know what? They always say it takes two to tango. It does. Only by pride is going to come contention. So you're going to see that. But watch what it says the rest of that verse. But with the well-advised is what? Wisdom. Somebody that can listen to somebody else telling them something. They can take advice. Now they got wisdom. And the context of that is pridefulness. And pride always stops people. And see, here's kind of what it is. Let's boil this down like this. If somebody says, you're trying to teach them something or give them some type of wisdom, and this is what they say. Listen, I already know. Right? You try to teach somebody something. You say, well, Scott, I already know that. You come into church and you sit down and you listen to someone preach a message, and in your mind you're thinking, well, preacher, I already know this. You wasted an hour of my time. I know all this stuff already. That's what you're thinking about wisdom right now. The problem is you might know it, but you're not putting it into practice, and it's not wisdom. It's just knowledge. Let me tell you, there's a lot of people that are filled with knowledge, but that won't change your life, just having knowledge in here. It's going to have to make it somewhere down to your feet and your hands to actually begin to do something with it. So it can't just be knowledge in a mind. And some people, that's all it is for a long time. So they say, I already know. I understand all that already. Preacher, I've already got that. But it has to turn into wisdom. Let me give you this other one, because I like the word this fit, because this next one is important. And it goes right along with this thing about, can you be corrected? Can you listen? And will you be take advice? The next one is this. The wise is not influenced by liquor. Let's see, no people. Yeah, there you go. I was waiting for one to shout it. The wise is not influenced by liquor. Proverbs chapter number 20, look at verse number 1. Watch what it says. I mean, this is just Bible. I mean, we're just opening it up and giving you a Bible. Watch what it says. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Now watch. And whosoever. Now, when we talk about salvation, whosoever believeth on him should not. We say, bless God, that's everybody. So, whosoever is deceived thereby, say the next two words, is what? Next two words. Not wise. Do it again. Is what? Not wise. No wisdom. No wisdom. No wisdom. Why? Because they allow themselves under the influence of some kind of intoxicating drink that alters the way they think. That's not wise. It's not wise for you to put your life under any kind of influence other than things of God. That's why it says, be not drunk with wine where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's what it says. Not filled with the wrong spirits, the spirits. Why do you think they call it spirits? Think about this for a minute, folks. Why do they call it spirits? People are under the influence of a bad spirit. You say, preacher, I don't like that. Because I think it's okay for me to drink a little bit every once in a while. Fine, do what you want to do. Because you say, preacher, I read this every 20th of the month. I read it. On the 20th, I read that verse. And preacher, I know it. I know it. And preacher, listen, I even understand it. Well, let me ask you a question. Are you doing it? If you're not doing it, there's no wisdom. And you say, I was listening to you until you got to Proverbs 20 and verse 1, and then I closed off my ears. All right, see, the wise listen. The wise listen. You say, but I didn't like that because this is the way I do it in my life and in my house. The wise learn. The wise learn. Well, I didn't like the way you said it because the wise can receive rebuke. The wise will humble themselves and say, you know what, you're probably right. And I've said this before, and I believe this to be 150% true. I know that's not really a way to do it, but it's at least 100% true, is this. I believe this. What you will do as a parent in moderation, I believe this. I believe your children will take it to excess. I believe that's true. I really believe that's true. If you will do things, if you will set the bar here, they're going to always try to push the bar to there. And I really believe this to be true, that if we say, listen, honey, I know what preacher said, but you know, preacher, he says those type of things. And in the Bible, really, if you were to Greekify this and Hebrewify this, you could maybe work this into, you see, that's what we do sometimes. And we say, well, that's just old-fashioned, honey, and you know, and it's okay. Let me tell you something. You can teach your kids that, but you're not teaching them wisdom. Because what did the Bible just say? It just told you plainly. It's wise not to allow your life to be deceived by alcohol. It's wise. It's wise. It's wisdom. Let me tell you something. A wise man learns from the mistakes of others. Watch, nobody lives long enough to make all the mistakes themselves. That's true. They learn from the mistakes of others. Can I tell you, as a testimony, you can learn from the mistakes of what alcohol can do to your life. You can listen, you can learn, you could ask her about some of the junk that I did before getting saved and some of the places. You know, the Bible talks about it's wrong to even speak of those things, so I won't even speak of them. But I can tell you, there was no fun found in drunkenness. None. Especially the next day. None. None. And this world may tell you, oh, we're living it up, we're having a great time. No, they are liars. That's not wisdom. That's not wisdom. That's liars. The Bible, I think it's in Proverbs 1, it says, if sinners entice thee, it says, don't go with them. Don't go with them. It's wisdom. It's wisdom. We're talking about wisdom. So, how do they get it? That's how they get it. They don't let themselves under the influence of the wrong things. They're influenced by the right things. Now, what does he do with it? What does he do with it? So how does he get it? We got that. What does he do with it? Well, let me tell you what a person does that has knowledge. His lips use knowledge correctly. He speaks knowledge. A person that has wisdom, his lips use knowledge correctly. In Proverbs chapter 15, look there. Very quickly, almost done. Proverbs chapter 15, in verse number 7. See, that's wise. That's wisdom right there. Take your time. Proverbs 15 and verse number 7 It says the lips of the wise, watch, they disperse knowledge. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the fool doeth not so. So the lips of the wise disperse knowledge. They give out knowledge. You know why they can give out knowledge? Because knowledge is in there. And they've now learned knowledge and understanding, and now they're wise, and they can give knowledge to other people. I tell the guys whenever we're talking about preaching, I tell them there's something that someone told me a long time ago, that the guys that taught me the Bible, they said, preaching should not be a performance of an hour or 30 minutes or an hour and a half or whatever you do. It should not be a performance of an hour. It should be an overflow of time spent with God. It should be something that's in here that you couldn't help but allow it to spew out and come out there somewhere. Remember the little girl that asked her mom and daddy, said, is God big? And they said, well, yes, honey, God's big. And my Sunday school teacher said that God lives inside of me. And they said, yes, honey, God lives inside of you. And God's big. Yes, God's big. Well, if God's big and God's inside of me, shouldn't some of God poke out somewhere? You know, the answer is yes, it should. Let me tell you something. When you're filled with wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, you know what it'll start to do? Poke out somewhere. And out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaketh. He'll disperse knowledge. Things will come out of his mouth that are right things. Let me tell you something else. He'll know when not to speak. He'll know when not to speak. In Proverbs 29:11, I love this verse. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. We tell you, every preacher in the world needs to memorize that verse. Because what we do is we like to talk. We talk. That's what we do. We talk, we talk, we talk. And you've got to keep... I had somebody one time, they were gonna chew me out about something. I probably deserved it. And they were gonna just really rail on me about something. And they said, I'm going to give you the opportunity to speak first. And they were senior, and they were going to really get me. And they said, I'm going to give you the opportunity to speak first. What do you have to say for yourself? And I said, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. And they just looked at me. And that really was wisdom. That was wisdom. A wise person knows when to just keep their mouth closed. They know. And then let me tell you something like this. Look at Proverbs 15, look at verse number 2. We're talking about they use their lips the correct way. 15:2, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. They use knowledge correctly. Can I tell you something? You need to watch now. You need to watch this. Sometimes all of us, especially in some of our circles, we have knowledge. We got some Bible. And someone taught us a verse, and we've got it. And then we walk around beating people up with knowledge. Yeah. See, sometimes we don't use knowledge aright. I tell you, when Jesus was there in the garden and they came to take him, remember that? And I believe it was Malchus was the soldier that came. And remember, I think it was Peter. Peter pulled out the sword. Peter wasn't a swordsman. Peter was a fisherman. And so he wouldn't have been really good at chopping somebody's head off, but I think he was shooting for the main thing, and he missed and hit the ear. I don't think he was that good where he was like, I'll just cut his ear off. I don't think he was doing it. I think he was aiming for the whole enchilada, and he got the ear. And remember what he did? Jesus reached down and he healed his ear, remember? Yeah. You know, a guy told me a long time ago, he said, you know what? You know, the Word of God is what? The sword of the Spirit. Yeah. He said, you know what you can do, preacher, young preacher? And I said, what? He said, you can take the sword of the Spirit and lop off ears of people. And he said, you know what the problem is when you do that? They never hear correctly again. Until Jesus comes along and heals the ear. And let me tell you, so what we can do, we can use knowledge the wrong way. We can get a Bible verse so far out of its context, and then we walk around beating people with that verse that's not even in its context. You know what we've just done? We've lopped off a bunch of ears, and these people leave, and they never hear right again when it comes to things of God. So they use knowledge aright. Let me say this. They lead others to Christ. They lead others to Christ. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 30, it says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is what? Wise. He that winneth souls is wise. You know what he does? He knows he's got wisdom, and he wants to share it with other people. He wants to tell other people how they can accept Christ as our Savior. In 2 Timothy 3:15, it says, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Folks, we need to have, let me tell you what you need to have. You've got to have the wisdom of God's Word in your life so that you can give an account to somebody about Jesus Christ and see them saved. You need to have this. They win souls. And let's look lastly, look at Proverbs chapter number 3, and I'll just close by saying this one. Proverbs chapter number 3. Their life is blessed. And I don't know anybody around that wouldn't say, you know, I want a blessed life. I want a blessed life. In Proverbs chapter 3, and look at verse number 13. Here it is, watch. "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days," you can mark all these. This is what happens, happiness. Verse 16, "length of days are in her right hand. In her left hand, riches and honors." Length of days, riches of honors, happiness. Verse 17, "Her ways are ways to pleasantness." Well, I want a pleasant life. "And all her paths are" what? "Peace." I want peace. "She's a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her." She's life. "And happy is everyone that retaineth her." Happy again. "The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck." How many of you want more grace in your life? Life and grace. 23, "Then shalt thou walk in the way safely." I want safety. "And thy foot shall not stumble." Let me tell you, I don't want to fall. I don't want to fall. "When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid." I don't want fear. "Yea, when thou lie down and when thy sleep," I'm sorry, "yea, thou shalt lie down and thy sleep shall be sweet." I want sweet sleep. "Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of desolation and of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken." So there's great reward and blessing. Let me tell you something, though. Who wrote Proverbs? Solomon. Can you tell you something, though? Solomon departed from wisdom. Wisest man in the world, and he departed from wisdom. And the Bible says in 1 Kings 11:4, don't have to turn around, just read this to you. It says, "For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart." Isn't it always the wife that does this stuff? Look at this. No, that's just a side note. "For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wife turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then Solomon built in a high place for Chemosh, and the abomination of Moab, and the hill that is before Jerusalem, and to," this is what I think is so interesting, "and to Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon." That was the big downfall of the children of Israel and Judah and all the things that they went into captivity for. You know what one of the things was? Because they started sacrificing their children to Molech. You say, where did that come from? That wickedness. You remember, that's the thing where they would heat up that thing with its outstretched arms and take their children and lay them on that burning altar and their children be consumed in fire. Remember, they did it for? They did it so that they could be prosperous. So they could be prosperous. Let me tell you something. There's people in the world today that are sacrificing their children so they can be prosperous. See, he had wisdom. He just departed from wisdom and went somewhere else. And it was not only the downfall of him and his household, but it was the downfall of everybody else after him. And the idea here is this. Folks, we need wisdom. We've got to have it. We've got to have it. And it's found right here. But unfortunately, what we do sometimes, and all of us are guilty of it, this becomes a thing that holds our seat till we come back next Sunday, or it becomes something that sits in the dash of the car until the heat starts to fold it up. or it's something we put in our coffee table that the remote control sits on, or we put the bag of chips on it, something like that. I heard somebody say a long time ago, I would never set anything over my Bible, and I don't. I don't let anything sit over my Bible. And so the idea is this, this is precious. Yeah, when I thank God, a lot of times I thank Him for the Word of God. I thank Him for saving me, for loving me, for the sealing of the Holy Spirit, and for giving me His instruction book so I know what to do. You know what we ought to do? We ought to be happy that we've got it. And not just be happy that we can hold it and say, bless God, I'm a Bible-believing King James fundamental. No, no, no. What good would it do to know all the lingo and not do anything with it? You need to know it, and you need to put it into practice in your life. Wisdom. We need to seek wisdom. Let's stand. Miss Laura, if you can find us a psalm real quick, we'll just have this time. We'll close after this invitation time, and then we'll move into the auction for these kids. But what we'll do now is, Miss Laura, get us a song. Maybe you need to come tonight and say, God, I need wisdom. Maybe this is where you start. You start right here today saying, God, I need wisdom. And you cry out for it, and you just long for it today. And let me tell you something. I believe He'll give it to you if you'll long for it. If you'll ask Him for it, He'll give you wisdom. You might be dealing with something in your life right now thinking, I need wisdom to figure out what to do. Have you asked Him for it? Have you asked Him to take care of it? I listened to somebody the other day while she's getting the piano. They were talking about, it was David Gibbs talking about wisdom. And I was listening to something he said as an illustration. He does very good with illustrations. He said that he was working with his father and his grandfather on doing cattle stuff. And they had this, I don't know, it's some stuff that's really nasty that's as a byproduct of cattle. It's like cattle slobber and feces together. Some kind of weird thing that they now put together and they use it for fertilizer. But he said they had a whole dump truck full of it. He said, and his dad always told him, he said, listen, you got to do it the way I tell you to do it whenever you're unloading it. And he said, he thought, you know what? I'm smart. I have figured out a different way to do it that's actually quicker than what dad said to do it. I was listening to him when he said this. He said that he was looking up at it and he hit the button. He's a little guy. He hit the button and the thing started. And when he did it, he didn't realize it was a door that pops open when it did it. And it popped open. He was looking like this. He said his mouth was open. He's going. And all of that went straight into his face, into his mouth. He said it's the worst thing in the world. Now, he said, you know what he immediately thought right then? He said, I should have did it the way Daddy told me to do it. Let me tell you, this is what I'm trying to tell you. You ought to do it the way Daddy tells you to do it. And not try to do it the way you want to do it. And this needs to be the time right now where you make that decision. Tonight, make that decision. I need wisdom. And I'm going to cry out for it. I'm going to long after it. I want it. I want to learn. I'm going to listen. I want to get it. And tonight needs to be the time that you do that. Miss Laura's going to play. Let's pray together. Lord God, Father, we love You. We thank You. Have Your way in this invitation time in the hearts of these people like only You can. We need Your touch tonight. We need You to be real. Do a work now in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you come and pray?